Hey, it's Adeline Van Dyke from Coldwell Banker Faith Properties in Utica. I always get asked, why do I love real estate? It's very simple. I love my clients. I love every single thing about helping them find or sell their home. Making sure the home is solid and ready for sale or solid and ready for the buyer's inspection. To making sure that they're getting the best rate on their mortgage. Making sure they're getting the best price on their house. You know, just everything involved in the sale is vital. My absolute favorite part of real estate is when a buyer walks into the house they're going to buy. I can feel it before they even know they're loving the house. It's just that obvious. So I'd love to experience that feeling with you. So give me a call. Adeline Van Dyke, Coldwell Banker, Faith Properties, 315-404-6431. Or you can find me on Facebook or visit my website at centralnewyork.com/Adeline. Thank you. And I look forward to welcoming you home.
The following program is an exclusive DisruptionNetworks.com production.
Ready.
Hey, it's Adeline Van Dyke here with you again with Home Free. And today we have Josh Amodio with Priceless Home Inspections and one of his clients, Maureen White. We're going to talk about a few inspection pointers and maybe things that you can do right now to get your home ready for winter. Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Adeline?
Good. Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining me. So, Josh, you've been an inspector for a little while.
I have, since 2012.
And what's that entail? Give us the down low on it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first, oh my gosh, what a great one. As far as home inspections are concerned, you know, I was born and raised into a family of trades, and it's in my blood. And I just knew that the day I put the offer in on my home in 2009, when they asked if I was going to have a home inspection, I said, well, I'm a contractor, I'll do it. And they said you needed to be licensed as a home inspector. And I knew right then and there that that's what I was going to do.
And as somebody who came from contracting into home inspection, what is the difference between having just your local contractor, your trusted contractor look at the house, and a trained inspector?
Well, I'll use my own personal experience in that in itself. Being in construction for over 20 years, it wasn't until I sat down in that classroom to learn about the home inspection industry that there's really a lot more in depth as far as what's entailed in home inspections as opposed to just contracting. As a contractor, we go in, somebody says, we want this redone, remodeled. You go in, you do it. In home inspections, it's certainly much different. You have to go in and really take a look at all the intricate parts of that home within a given amount of time. I shouldn't even say a given amount. There is no time limit on a home inspection, but you need to go in and really just take in that whole home and really break it apart as far as what's done correctly, what isn't, what should be maintained, what should be brought up to today's standards. We're not codes inspectors, but we do want to point out any health and safety issues that may come about to protect the client.
Yeah, I know I always tell my clients that they really need a good inspector and a thorough inspection because it's very, very involved. What are some of the most common things you see in the area?
Oh, gosh. Most common things in Central New York. First, I like to say that we do have old housing stock, pretty much all built around the same exact time, 30s, right. 40s, 50s. So, yes, great question in terms of that. Those homes were certainly built with very good bones. So that we definitely had some great contractors in this area.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
So that is first and foremost. However, the materials used within a home, everything's going to fail at some point, whether it be the home itself or the components that are part of that home. So as far as the most common things in our area, a lot of it has to do with electrical. Electrical is one of the biggest things. We have some older wiring in our homes in this area. So electric definitely is one of the biggest things. And if any, you know, for those who are listening, the exterior of their home is the first place to look.
And what do they look for on the exterior that would be like a key sign that they need to do something?
Well, the first thing would be the what's called the service entrance cable. It's the wire that comes down from the down the side of the home. We have older wiring in our homes. So when that wire was produced back in at that time, it had a covering on it. Everybody's seen wires before, you know. But in the older times, it was more of a cloth type wiring. Over time, that would go bad. Water would seep in through that, get down into the electrical panel box that's normally in the basement. And I don't know where you guys are from, but
water and
last time
don't
I checked,
mix.
Water and electric don't mix ever.
So they should look for that. They find it. It comes onto the house. Where's it come?
It'll come. It usually comes from the telephone pole.
Okay.
And then it attaches to what's called the masthead or service drop. Comes down the side of their home.
And they just want to make sure that's not cracked.
Just want to make sure that it's not cracked, not frayed. You can generally get an idea whether or not it's bad or not. It looks like peeling paint if it's frayed.
Right.
Then again, it could be peeling paint because people paint it over those things many times.
True.
So that would be the first thing that you want to look at. If you see that that's bad, I'm just going to say don't go anywhere near your electrical panel box because at that point you assume that water's getting into it.
Good advice. So when we approach the electric panel, you taught me something that I like to pass on to every one of my buyer clients. How do we approach an electric panel?
Well,
safely.
Well, I like to say that that anytime I inspect a home, I have to look at it as though it's dangerous. So I have to protect myself safely as well. If we assume that that electrical panel box is safe, you don't need me.
Right, true.
So when you walk up to that panel box, I always like to make sure that it's not live. Best thing to do is put your left hand behind your back, touch the panel 3 times with the back of your right hand. That way, at least, if it were live, you're going to get shocked. Your muscles contract. It'll pull your hand away.
Why left hand behind the back?
That reminds you to do it with your right hand, because if you touch it with your left hand and the wrong way, your heart's on your left-hand side.
Yeah.
And I always like to say, if you get shocked on the first time, you don't need to do it again.
True.
Guys, we do. We'd call our friends up and be like, hey, come over.
Try this. So Maureen had an issue on her inspection as far as electrical went. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit, Maureen?
Well, Josh came in and did an inspection on the home I'm looking to purchase. He went down to the basement and he put his right hand on the electrical, even though it didn't shock him. He noticed the name brand of it and he said these are known to have issues and that it should be changed out before we proceeded any further with the mortgage. So luckily he caught that and saved me quite a bit of money on having to have the house rewired eventually.
Yeah, that's nice. Good catch.
Yeah.
Just doing my job.
Appreciate it.
So what kind of boxes are those, and how does somebody kind of look for the boxes that shouldn't be in service any longer? And why shouldn't they be in service? What's going on with those?
Well, that particular panel box is what's called Federal Pacific. Federal Pacific was a manufacturer of panel boxes. They produced a couple different series of panel boxes, I guess you could call it. This one in particular is what's called the stab lock. All right. And the problem with that is that they are known to have issues. A breaker's job within a home is to protect the wire from overheating when it's overloaded. Those breakers were known to not trip when they were overloaded. So they were actually causing fires. Now, you know, when I come across them in home inspections, normally I always get the call from a seller that says, I've never had an issue with this panel box. And I usually just say straight out to them, you're lucky.
Yeah, because that's pretty
scary.
You've
gotten lucky because the issue, you not having problems is the problem. If it's not tripping, well, then that could be the issue.
True. Because if it's not tripping, then it's just going to overheat.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's where problems come in.
Yes.
What are some, now, we've had a lot of flooding and a lot of rain this year. What are some issues you see as far as rain and some easily correctable things that you can do to kind of keep water out of your house?
the first thing, actually the two things that should be done in every single home are actually some of the cheapest and least expensive things that
we can do. We like cheap and inexpensive.
Well, this is one of those times when cheap and inexpensive is actually a very good thing. Homes with lack of gutters. Yes, you should have gutters on your home. Anytime there's thousands of gallons of water coming off that roof during a rainstorm. So if you can direct that away from your foundation, anytime you could direct water away, that's certainly the biggest thing. And also the grading. Grading around our homes should be sloped away from the foundation. So that way any water that does get up against the house will slope away from that foundation. Water's the number one enemy to a house.
Oh, yeah. So build up that dirt around the house and put some gutters on.
That's it.
Nice.
Cheap and inexpensive. Go to your neighbor's yard and grab the dirt.
Very nice. See, they don't need it.
No. And always direct your gutters downhill to your neighbor. Get it to their basement as quick as possible.
I love you, Josh. That's good advice. Maybe your neighbor won't like you so much after that.
Hey, it's got to.
It's their problem.
Well, now it's his turn for a sump pump.
So why don't you tell us a few stories you have from inspections that have been maybe interesting or unique or kind of opened your eyes to different things? I mean, I know we've seen some things on some inspections.
We've seen some doozies.
Some transformer boxes that I had to send you pictures of and say, what is this?
Well, that's my job. I mean, I certainly want to be, you know, more than just the inspector. I want to be a, you know, pretty much part of your business as well. And if I could be an extension of that to help your clients, because at the end of the day, it's all about the client.
Well, you are a great resource.
So thank you. I guess, are you asking me about some of the strange things I've seen on Instagram?
Yeah, some of the strange things. Some of the things that you're like, oh my goodness.
I'll give you three stories.
Oh, good.
Three different examples, because these top the list. This is going back about 2 years now. I did a two-family home, lower part of Dudley Ave. Went down into the basement. Now the home is owned by a landlord, absentee landlord, selling the home. And there's tenants inside the house. I walked into the basement, and right before, in some instances, the meter is in the basement.
Right.
So in this particular instance, the meters were in the basement. Now, right before the meter, somebody, one of the tenants, had shaved off that service entrance cable and hooked up jumper cables from a car and ran it down to a panel box, rewired the panel box to run his apartment.
Well, so that's not very safe, I'm thinking.
No.
It's not brilliant.
Not safe
it's
or legal.
It's brilliant, though.
It's brilliant. Brilliant, yes. Huh. But definitely not safe.
We got a little engineer in the making.
And you talk about touching the panel with the back of your right hand. If those things just slip off just a little bit, that thing's just live.
Oh, that's scary. So,
yeah, nothing like 220 volts.
Yeah, that's a little sketchy.
So let's see, another one, actually not far from where we're sitting right now. I won't give the street or anything out, but I did show up on an inspection. And as I pulled up, I saw something that was out of the ordinary installed in the roof. Installed in the roof.
Okay.
Right? And I won't give it away right away. But I certainly took a picture. It was the first picture I took, even before the front of the home. And as I made my way up into the attic, we walked over to what the seller termed the ventilating skylight.
Oh, okay.
So you talk about contractors, and this gives me a good opportunity to say, if you're ever going to have work done on your home, hire reputable contractors. You do get what you pay for.
Oh, yes.
So this particular seller had hired somebody to install a ventilating skylight. Certainly, it was to send a lot of light into an attic space for whatever reason.
And to ventilate. So I'm thinking it opened.
It opened. And it was a gigantic 6-foot sliding patio door installed into the roof.
Oh, interesting.
So that one was definitely a fun one. That one got written right up. And the final one, I always give these examples anyways, but I pulled up and first thing I always look at is the roof. Roof's first thing, even before I even get up on the roof or pull out the binoculars. You pull up, you look at the roof. And as I pulled up to the roof, it looked fairly brand new. And come to find out, it was brand new. The problem was, I walked on the roof, no issues. Wasn't until I got up into the attic when I realized that all the plywood, I don't think anybody's watching, in quotes, the plywood was white.
White.
And it wasn't painted. It was two layers of 5/8-inch drywall used as the roof sheathing.
Oh, my God.
Again, hire reputable contractors. So they installed 1.25-inch thick roof, but it was all drywall.
Oh, God almighty.
So how about that one?
That's crazy.
That one had to be all ripped out and redone.
Oh, man. That sucks.
And the last I heard was they couldn't find the contractor who did it.
Well, naturally. Those contractors always seem to disappear somehow. Hold on. Oh, I hear a UC opening.
I'm not working.
So, Maureen, you're buying a house for the first time on your own.
Yes.
First home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Tell everybody what to expect.
Well, Josh, first of all, is very friendly, very easy to talk to. He came in, brought his slippers so he wouldn't disrespect the person's house. Went in and out of everything, turned the water on, got under the cupboards, under the sink, checked everything. I mean, he was in and out and got out on the roof in his slippers. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, I'm fine.
He gives me a heart attack every now and again.
Yeah.
Walked right out crawled right out the window on the second story, got jumping around on the roof. And I'm like, dear God. Down in the cellar, he went right underneath the shelves and right against the foundation and had his flashlight out inspecting everything, inspected the furnace, showed me where the water on and off is.
What did he tell you to do with the water main?
To turn it off once a year, every spring.
Yep.
And
turn it back on.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yes.
And why is that? Come on, quiz time.
Come on.
That's what my realtor's for.
Okay. That's true.
And I think that
we do
also
that so that it doesn't lock up. And if it's going to break, we don't want to turn it on and off in the winter. Because
right.
If it needs a repair, we want the ground to be thawed. So that's why we do it every spring or summer.
Very true. And Josh actually said he'd send me a reminder.
And how do you get reminded?
By liking your Facebook page.
Yes.
Which is?
Property Inspection, Priceless Inspections, LLC.
Very nice. Nicely done. See, Maureen didn't want to talk today, so she's ready to kill me, but we've been friends for a while, so she's stuck with me.
He was very thorough, extremely thorough. I was very pleased.
Thank you.
And like I said, you were very friendly. You know, you talked to me like you knew me. You did say you were going to look at the house like your mother was buying it, and I did have to remind you I wasn't old enough to be your mother, but...
Close.
not even close. But yeah, he amazed me. He was, like I said, in and out of everything. Very, very thorough.
Thank you.
The report, I had it within 24 hours. That was extremely thorough also.
Same night.
Okay, well, I didn't look at my email until the next day.
I like to go to bed at night knowing that my clients have everything that I had done for that day, whether it's reports sent to me from other vendors, whether it be the radon companies, water lab companies. But as far as my report, still 100% same day.
Okay, that's my fault. I didn't check till the next day.
Yeah, I do have
day.
To say, I do
check
love that.
Check the timestamp. Check the timestamp.
No, I believe you.
I never have to chase you for reports and results, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. I like to say that, or a lot of people like to say, oh, I don't have time today. I don't have time tomorrow.
Right.
I have to do it today. Mm-hmm. And when I go to sleep at night, and everything for the day's done. So makes tomorrow very easy.
It's a great way to run a business.
Thank you.
He danced for us too, didn't he?
He did. You made the mistake of saying something and him and I both responded. So,
well, the house she's buying has a gas stove and they're taking that. So I'm giving her an electric stove. And I said, oh, darn, it's electric. And of course,
boogie, 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 boogie. Boogie, boogie.
And we couldn't remember the dance, so Josh demonstrated. Full service inspectors.
Absolutely.
Right. When you enjoy what you do, you can have fun. If something's wrong, tone changes, you just look. At that point, you do your job.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So right now, snow's flying, unfortunately, getting colder. What are a few things that people really need to do right now if they haven't done it already, which they should have?
They should have, but let's keep our fingers crossed that there's still maybe a little bit of warm spell.
Yep. As soon as it thaws, what do they need to do?
Well, right now is a very good time to really go by your windows and check for any drafts. So make notes of those. If the weather does cooperate and gives us a couple warm days, you could certainly caulk those windows.
Yep.
If you can't get to that, I say plastic them off from the inside. But then at that point, start thinking about new windows. We're all energy conscious, I think. So the older wood windows, start thinking about getting some replacements on those. I know there's some great companies in this area. And they're pretty much running great specials also at this time of year. So start thinking about that.
Yeah.
That's really big. As far as the snow is concerned, I'm all about safety. So make sure you are shoveling or plowing, especially those sidewalks. I know you can get fined big time now.
I know
it's always been a law, but everywhere is now pushing that if the sidewalks are not shoveled, they're gonna shovel them. I know I live in Yorkville.
Oh yeah, they're cracking down though.
I live in Yorkville, and our newsletter came out just a week and a half ago, and it said if you do not shovel your driveway, they will the town will, or the village will come by, shovel your driveway, and you're paying $100 for it.
Mm.
Wow. So
cheaper to hire a service,
or just
get off
your
ass
and go do it.
You know where I'm going to live, Josh, so feel free to stop over anytime.
With your shovel.
With my shovel.
Away.
If you're nice, you'll have some Utica coffee there for you.
Maybe.
Oh, I can never get enough of it. Never get enough of Utica coffee.
Okay.
Noted.
You shovel, you'll get coffee.
Wonderful.
There we go.
Not decaf. That's for babies.
You might need it, though.
No. I have a pot of coffee in me before I even head out the door in the morning.
I can tell.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing here. All right. So we want to make sure that we keep snow off of the sidewalks. Now, I know there's furnace vents that we also want to be conscious of if we get another 3-foot snowstorm again.
Oh,
God forbid.
I would hate
that. But we're in upstate New York, so we have to kind
tomorrow.
Of... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what do we do if we have something like that? What do we do to make sure that that furnace stays free and clear? And why do we make sure that furnace stays? And
more specifically, we're talking about what's called a high-efficiency furnace. So if you've had your furnace, if your furnace exhausts through the sidewall through a PVC pipe, then what you want to make sure is that that does not get covered. A lot of times that same furnace will have an air intake going over to the furnace as well for the combustible air. This storm that we had last March?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Last March.
Yeah, it was a late storm.
It's sad, but you can read about and hear about some of the stories that had happened. That snow covered those exhausts and those air intakes, which causes backups into the furnace, which in turn is carbon monoxide. Which is, of
very
course,
dangerous,
poisonous gas. There are people who have, this past March, our hospitals actually were filled with people from carbon monoxide because of that. So you want to make sure that those are kept free and clear in order to make sure that doesn't happen. We're talking about vents also. I talked to my mentor about this, and he brought up a great point. I have a great mentor in my business. And if nobody has mentors, get one.
Mm-hmm.
He also mentioned the vents for the dryer. A lot of times those are down by the grounds as well. It's not so much carbon monoxide in that aspect of things, but the heat buildup, if those get blocked, cause fires in the homes.
Oh,
so
yeah,
at the same time, make sure we get snow away from those as well.
Every time I talk to you, I learn something new.
I can't give it to you all at once.
Jeez. Just doling it out one at a time.
You got to keep them around for some reason.
Yep.
I know. It taught me how to caulk a tub, too.
Why don't you explain how to caulk a tub?
Well, you have to fill it with water.
Why?
For the weight. So that when you empty it, it just kind of and sucks right up and seals well.
That's the gist
of it. I shortened it a little.
You gave that one the Cliff Note version, but yes, that's exactly it. Yep, fill a tub before you caulk around
it. I got the gist.
Yes.
I can't parallel park either, but I can explain that.
I see your car out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, Josh, in your free time, you donate to a lot of causes, and you spend a lot of time on some causes. I've seen you do some things for the Veteran mm-hmm. Outreach Center and some other things. What are some of the causes you support in the area?
Thank you for asking about that.
I know it's near and dear to your heart. So
it is. You know, I first have to give credit to my father. My father passed away in 2001. And growing up, my father was a great dad, a fantastic dad. Seemed to be with us all the time, but he seemed to have done everything as well. My dad was a very big supporter of different charities throughout his life. And even when he passed away and he had written his own obituary, there were these causes that he had done that I wasn't even aware that he was part of. So part of what my business plan was to give back to the community. And I learned that from my dad. So as far as the different organizations, they're all basically organizations that are near and dear to me, what I felt as though needed support. And not to take away from any of the other charities, but every month I do give a portion of my profits in the business to a different charity.
Mm-hmm.
And the veterans seem to be the biggest one for me. And as I've grown in this business and as time has gone on, I've met many veterans. Those who are doing very well for themselves and some who are struggling a little bit but buying houses. Some who are disabled and some who are not. But getting to know them and hearing their stories. You know, Maureen, you and I talked a little bit, and I mean, mm-hmm. I heard different stories from you, but
right.
You know, they were still overseas stories. But as far as hearing the stories about the veterans, that really hit home for me. Now, I'm not a veteran; I was never in the military, but it occurred to me that I cannot do. Pretty much any of us cannot do what we do on a daily basis, what we get up and love to do, if it weren't for our military.
No, we all have all our freedoms.
Our veterans are active, and I would do anything for them. I mean, those are the reasons why we can do what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I agree.
We're talking right now online because of them.
That's awesome.
In a way.
Absolutely.
So that's certainly my biggest charity. Other ones, of course, are the Humane Society, the March of Dimes, Boys and Girls Club, Habitat for Humanity. Certainly those are big ones. Rescue Mission. And any of those ones that really, for me, just feel like they need help.
I've seen you donate to a lot of the smaller benefits, too, you know.
The smaller benefits, yeah. Even those who, you know, you see the ones pop up online, you know, the Ride for Missing Children is another big one for me. You know, any friends of mine that I've seen come through on Facebook who had their pages set up.
Yes, I appreciate that. You donated to Teal for the ovarian cancer walk
in
September.
I mean, these are, you know, I see them pop up. I don't think twice about it. Just do it.
It feels good, doesn't it?
It does. Feels good.
Yeah. So. It's nice to give back.
You have to.
And Maureen, you do a lot of that too, even though you don't want to talk. But you do a lot of that too, and you've instilled it, more importantly, in your children.
Well, I don't do as much as Josh. But for the last probably 14 years, both my daughter and I have been either serving at the rescue mission on Thanksgiving and Christmas or delivering meals for the rescue mission. My daughter is a far better human being than I've ever thought of being, and she has a huge heart. And I know that definitely comes from home. And again, it comes from my father, who thankfully is still with me, but is a fantastic man and gives his time and energy to everything and anything he can.
You do the Great American Irish Fest.
We do the Irish Fest. We've done the Heart Walk. We did the Teal Walk.
Yeah.
We do the Stars and Stripes. My sister is big into the flags for Veterans Day.
Nice.
I have a nephew that's in the Air Force and a nephew that's in the Marines. And my Marine just got deployed, so keep him in your thoughts, please. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, so our whole family actually has been very active in quite a few things.
Well, and Maura, your daughter Maura is very big with Special Olympics, which she is quite an impressive young woman.
Yes, thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
Good job, Mama.
I told you she's a far better human than I am.
All right, so we talked about the charitable causes a little bit. So what do you like to do for fun? What are the things in the area that you're excited about, that you've been excited to see come along, and, you know, the different, you know, because I know you like to hit the Comets.
Oh, huge hockey fan, certainly.
So what do you think of the new Odd?
Oh, the place is beautiful. You know, that whole area is coming around down that way. The changes they've made to the auditorium. You know, I'm 43 years old. I remember starting to watch hockey when I was 13 with the Utica Devils.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started getting into hockey. And just to see the way that place has changed is fantastic. And every year they tend to do something a little bit more. You know,
yeah, a little better, a little,
you know,
different.
Just add something, you know, as the time's going on every year. And I was very fortunate to have a friend of mine invite me to the Zoo House, which is one of the suites up in the Odd, one of the new ones, and that was for opening night.
Oh, nice.
So that was definitely fun to see how that's all coming about. And
well, it's a whole different dynamic being there and being in a suite, rather, you know.
It was, yeah, I didn't see much of the game either. It's got a bar. I mean, you pay to get in, so you have this open bar.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
nice.
Yeah. You
give your friends our name.
I'm hoping. I can. I hope he gets it again. But so definitely Utica Comets. I've gotten to a couple of the Utica college hockey games,
right?
You know, but you know, business certainly takes precedence,
right,
over that one. As far as things that I like to do in my spare time, I certainly have to say I love to eat.
Yeah, I see you all over the Utica area of restaurants and Sonny's with your mother the other day.
Sonny's, yeah. I had to take my brother and my mother out to dinner.
Oh, yeah. He was hidden in the picture. That's
right. Yeah, he didn't want to be in the picture. My brother's
so shy.
A little bit.
And such a good-looking kid.
My brother's a great guy.
You know?
Great guy.
Tell him not to be so shy.
I will. But as far as that, I mean, trying the different places around the area, there's new ones always popping up. And they're all fantastic.
I know. We really do have a diverse culture and
I mean,
good food.
Obviously, we can have a whole show on food. Mm-hmm. So I won't get into that much. But as far as eating at the different restaurants and establishments, I mean, we have great culinary talent in our area, and they're putting out food that everybody, no matter what you like, can go find something. Find a restaurant that serves that.
Or five of them.
Or five of them. Yep. And other things I like to do in my free time, I just finished hiking the Adirondack 46.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How was that?
It was fantastic.
Well, you had a can of Utica Club with you, right?
Yes.
All 46?
The same can on all 46.
Yeah, that one saved your life, right?
It did. It did. Gosh, I told the story so many times, but Fred Matt, of course, has heard the story as well. I kept the Utica Club in the back of my backpack, and it was a rough day. I was just coming down mountain number 4 for the day, and I was approximately 11 hours in on my hike.
That's a long day.
And I still had, you know, the other 2 hours to hike out back to the car. And my knees at that point were shot. And I remember taking my time and taking in the last view before heading down a 30-foot slide. And I let go of the tree, took a couple steps, and as soon as I did, one of my knees gave out. And I went for a tumble. And next thing you know, I was held up 15 feet from falling over the rest of the cliff.
Ugh.
And it was the Utica Club that jammed in between two rocks.
And go UC. So
beer saved my life.
Good old Uncle Charlie was looking
right
out.
Right there.
All right, you know, Fred, Matt, way to go.
Yes.
Saved my favorite inspector.
So we thank you. So Fred, I did tell Fred that story, and I actually cracked that beer open at the top of my last one.
How'd it taste?
It tasted like it was brewed yesterday.
Beautiful. It can take a licking and still ticking.
Yeah.
You shook that up quite a bit, 46 high peaks.
You know what? It tasted great.
Nice.
It really did. So we definitely
you earned
have
it,
to
obviously.
To
yeah,
club.
Right?
Yep.
You should have had another 45 to go with it, one for each peak.
You still have to hike down after your last.
She doesn't ever think of that part.
You can hike for 7 hours, make it to the top of the mountain, and then you still have to hike back to your car, which will take about 5 hours.
Yeah, that's a bitch, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And when you finish your 46, it's not when you get to the top of the mountain. It's when you come back down and you sign out.
Then it's completed.
So at the top of that number 46 up on Whiteface this past July, that was probably the roughest hike down, because you had people meet you at the top with champagne and everything else.
Oh, nice.
So you just walked down drunk.
You stumbled
down the mountain. You know, at that point, though, I mean, I knew my journey as far as for the 46 was over. So,
yeah.
But it was an exciting day. Very exciting.
Very nice. There's a lot of work goes into it. A lot of planning and...
Planning, yes. That's a good way to look at it. I know I was studying that map, and I'd study it, and my alarm would go off the next morning, and I woke up and the map was across my chest because I fell asleep looking at it, and just planning the route that I was going to be taking. You know, I had a specific goal, which I hit. I wanted to get that done within a year.
Yeah.
So I started July 16th of 2016 and finished July 15th of 2017. So
right
365
under the wire.
Days, I was able to do that.
What's the next goal?
Oh, gosh. I might do the long trail up in Vermont. Somewhere on my bucket list is the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
That won't be for many years yet.
Well, that's a long trail.
Oh, that'll be a 6-monther. I know. What are you going to do?
6 months.
Yep. 6 months, give or take.
All right, Josh. So I should probably be retired in about 30 years. Why don't you just plan it for then?
30 years. I'll be 73.
You'll still be younger
you
than
can
I
do
am.
It.
I could do it.
Yeah, because you'll still be younger than I am.
It'll be done before I'm 73.
Damn. All right, so I'm going to have to plan
sky jumping for... Next.
Well, I'll just have to take like 6 months off then, so I don't need an inspector.
Let's go hike a trail.
Fuck you, I'm not walking that far. Can I do it in my 3-inch heels?
Go for it.
All right, I'm go in.
Put her in a wheelbarrow and take her with you.
Yeah, that would be perfect. You can just wheel me all around.
She'll carry the UCs for
right.
you.
Yes. Oh.
All right, sounds like a plan.
I'll keep them cold.
Okay.
All right, deal. I've also seen you like around at Utica Music and Arts Fest. That
yep.
was a good one.
Oh yes,
that was
that. I'm definitely into live music. So, again, like food, we have great live musicians.
Yeah, we really do.
Utica has fantastic musicians, and it's always nice to. I just grew up with listening to live music, and you know, it's nice to still see these same people that were around when, you know, growing up, hitting, you know, Captain Trips when I was 17 years old. Oh, no, 21.
Yeah, you were 21.
I was 21. No. You know, the same, you know, a lot of the same artists are,
or their
are
kids.
Still playing.
Or their kids.
Or their kids, yes.
I went to see Ryan Quinn a few months back, and I came home and, you know, mom was like, "Where were you?" And I'm like, "Oh, we went to see Ryan Quinn." She's like, "Oh, my God, his father used to play Don's Rock. I love him." Like, love it.
Yeah, so now we're getting into the different generations around here, but definitely as far as music is concerned, I mean, live music is fantastic in Utica, and people should get out more and go see it.
Yeah, support your local musicians.
Support your local musicians.
We need them.
Yes, it's a good time.
It is. Well, what else do you want to talk about?
But you're the interviewer, aren't you?
I know. I'm just giving you some leeway. Did you have anything you wanted to speak about?
Oh,
besides
gosh.
How wonderful Priceless Inspections is.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, but how about a personal question as far as how did you get involved in real estate?
Me?
You.
All right. Well, that was easy.
I know, yeah. But that's an easy one.
I was going to list my house, and I met Jenny Carabin, Jenny Webb, at a party and found out she was a realtor. So she came over with her broker, Jay Grow. And, you know, he was like, "Well, you know, you need to do this, that, and the other thing." And I said, "Yeah, I'll have it done in 5 days." And he kind of looked at me like I had three heads because there was probably about a month and a half worth of work there. So in 5 days, I painted the entire house and completely decluttered and organized. And I was ready to list ahead of schedule. And when he came back to list the house, nice. He says, "I want to hire you."
Awesome.
And I always had an interest in it, so.
I had never asked you that question before.
Yeah.
So now I know.
Yeah, that was good. It was fun. Fucking Jay.
What do you find the most exciting in the Utica market?
That it's growing.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. I love it. I mean, we're actually like hitting a seller's market now where, you know, our inventory is down, our buyers are still out. I know. And you like, you notice how I perked right up. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's exciting time though, isn't it?
If
you're in or around real estate, it's very exciting.
And I'm seeing the all different age groups.
Oh my God, yes.
Buying homes in Utica. So normally you hear about the elderly are like, "Well, we're selling it, we're moving down south." No, we're selling, we're downsizing.
But we don't want to go far.
But we don't want to move far away.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you've got the 22, 23-year-olds, which for me is awesome to see in this area because
they're staying.
That's
they're investing.
22, 23-year-olds staying here in Utica buying houses.
Yeah.
Which means they're here.
Yeah. And that's honestly the biggest pocket of our transactions right now are the millennials. You know, everybody wants to label little millennials like it's a bad thing, but I mean,
let's just label them Uticans.
Yeah. Our little Uticans are like buying shit like crazy, and I love it.
It's crazy.
And it's not only that they're buying it, they're fixing things up, and you know, they're moving up.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I had a 17-year-old client. Well, she was 17 when we started looking, couldn't make the offer until she was 18. 18 years old, she bought a two-family, you know, met the woman
Smart.
She was going to marry and had a baby, and they moved up to, you know, a single family now. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it's really, I love to see
it's for me being a Utican, you know, seeing this, you know, I had a short little stint out in Albany, which, by the way, Albany's great, but for me, it sucked.
That's not home. It's not Utica.
It was not home. I was, and Z will tell you if you ever get a chance to talk to him. You know, he had his club down on Varick Street. I was what I like to call home every weekend, and I was at his place. You know, but I basically just said I work in Albany
and live in Utica.
Live in Utica, but. To see Utica just sprawling out with these people buying houses, it is absolutely fantastic.
I agree.
You know, it's growing around here.
Well, and the businesses.
I don't care what people say. when you talk to the right people, you know that good things are happening in our area, and it's going to continue to grow. You could either be part of it or sell your house and let somebody buy it who wants to be part of it.
315-404-6431 will get you out of here.
Yeah.
I like that. Get the hell out.
Get out.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we have a mutual friend of a friend who every time we see him, he's like, oh, I hate it here. You know, I'm going to go live in North Carolina and blah, blah, blah. And we're like, yeah, go. You need gas money. You want us to help you pack? Get the hell out. You don't like it.
Yeah.
No more negativity.
Take a road trip and drive them yourself.
Yeah, I mean, okay, come on. The Johnny Devereaux Tavern just opened.
Yep.
My God, they did a beautiful job.
I'm looking forward to getting in there.
Oh, Josh, we're doing a Sunday brunch.
I know. I already said yes to it.
Good, good, good. We were at the Hotel Utica, you know, for a little happy hour. Mm-hmm. They did a great job with that. I mean, that's gorgeous.
I heard that one. I've heard nothing but good things about that.
I mean, Taylor and Cook, it just won a huge award.
Congratulations, Chris and Tim.
Right? I mean, Utica Coffee, Utica Bread. I mean, everybody's growing. Mm-hmm. The lofts, you can't build them before they're leased.
Yep.
I mean, but there's nothing good going on here.
Oh,
it
zero.
Sucks.
It's
terrible.
Horrible.
It's terrible. You shouldn't stay. It's awful. Nobody's buying real estate.
I know. I'm slow in my inspections because no one's buying houses.
No. You know? Well, the same thing with Rome. Our friend Lori, I mean, she hears it with Rome all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rome doesn't sell, but every time I put a sign up in Rome or she puts a sign up in Rome or anybody puts a sign up, it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you just...
And they've actually done a very good job tying those two cities together. I know we've always said Utica-Rome area, Utica-Rome. There's actually been a really good change with tying those two areas together very well.
I agree.
And it's going to be, when we talk about Central New York, it's going to really hit home soon about Central New York.
Yeah, yeah. And well, we've got things going on like the beverage trail and... You know, things that are just kind of, you know, pulling the area together.
Oh, things all over the place coming out. When was the last? I remember growing up, there used to be one food truck.
Oh, yeah.
Now
you've got two different rodeos going on.
I mean, that's fantastic. But remember, there's nothing going on in Utica.
Nothing, because it sucks.
Horrible.
Terrible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get out.
I don't know why we're here.
Man, let's leave.
Yeah, we should.
Nah,
we'll stay.
Good job trying to convince each other.
But I mean, you don't really have to look far to see there's hotels going up everywhere. There's restaurants going up everywhere. Winning awards, growing.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
Maureen's laughing at
us. You want to get in on this?
I'm enjoying your conversation.
On the spot a little bit.
I'm enjoying your conversation.
So Maureen's son has been doing some MMA fighting, and she's a little freaked out about that.
Definitely.
But he's very, very talented. He has a good skill.
Thank you. He'll appreciate that. Me as a mother, no.
No?
No, but as a mother, you obviously have to support whatever his dream is, and I'll be right there ringside for him.
He's going to help me grow an ass.
Yeah, he told you to do squats.
Yeah, well, I told him he's going to have to come over and make me do squats, like, every day. Just yell at me, do squats!
I don't think you'd be intimidated by him.
I don't either. But he's good to look at.
Stop now. It's my baby.
She knows I'm teasing.
Oh, boy.
So, Maureen, what are your favorite things to do in the area? Well, besides the Irish Fest. Because I know you love your Irish Fest.
Just going out and seeing local bands, trying different restaurants. Whenever I try to make dinner arrangements with you, it's definitely not a... we're not going to a chain restaurant. We have to try something new.
Oh, yeah. No Applebee's or Outback.
Which is good. It's fine.
Chesterfield's was last.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of
it was
my
good.
Favorites.
It was good.
One of my favorites.
Love it. We introduced her to the Tuscan chicken.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Good choice.
It was yummy.
Yeah. Our friend Bill had a nice wood-fired pizza.
You had the chicken riggies.
I love them.
the mayonnaise faced chicken riggies.
Yeah. I go in and I order and I'm like, yeah, I want the chicken riggies, but a mitigan. Yeah. Mitigan, so you know, with the hot peppers. No
hot peppers.
Oh my God, no. I glow in the dark. Are you kidding me?
No hot peppers?
At Josh, mine. I glow in the dark. I can't eat hot peppers. I'm a wicked baby.
She lives in the best city for Italian food, and she can't eat spice.
I eat garlic. What's your issue?
You eat garlic?
I like garlic. Isn't that Italian enough? I can spell sfugliarelle. I know where to get the good cannolis.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where are,
I mean, come on. How much else?
We don't have snacks here, do we? No.
Making Josh hungry now. He's looking. There's no cannolis. Oh, there's no sfugliarelle.
There's nothing on that table out there.
Not a cookie in sight. Oh. He's starving. Wasting
away.
Give
you another UC.
I could have another UC.
Yeah. That'll help.
No. Only the one. No. Only the one.
So, any final thoughts from you, Josh?
Final thoughts? Wow. Well, I didn't get a chance to actually say this at the beginning, but first and foremost, thank you very much for having me on tonight.
You're very welcome. Because thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
You basically just said, want to be on a radio? Yes. And I had no idea what to expect.
No, it's just, hey, yeah, what are you doing tomorrow at 7? Yep. Oh, good. You're with me.
Yes. So
thank you for being game.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That blind trust is going to get him so much shit someday.
Trust me, it will. You better be careful.
She knows. She's been friends with me for a long time.
You know, I had other things on my planner for the night, you know, but
yeah,
after last night's episode, I can't. I figured, yeah, this would be
this is safe.
This is
the follow-up.
This is safer than what happened last night.
Not going to wax anything.
You brought it up.
I did, didn't I? I know I did.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Oh, yes, you were.
Nah.
Yeah, you were trying to find a way.
I was waiting for you.
You know, you were.
Go gin to it.
Yeah.
What'd you do last night, Josh?
I paraffin waxed my knees.
How'd that go?
Not good. You got the video.
Yes,
I
burned
too.
My knees.
But I was laughing so hard I almost peed my pants. Like, literally, almost peed my pants. My daughter thought I was completely insane. I had to come and see what the hell was wrong.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
You're supposed to turn in that. Apparently, you're supposed to turn that little thing, the switch down to warm after you don't leave it on hot. You're supposed to turn it to warm.
Apparently. And that is your public service message. Do not paraffin wax anything on high, especially your knees.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
He's traumatized, scarred for life.
I might be.
Final thoughts about home inspections,
Final
Josh.
Thoughts on home inspections.
Let's stay focused on task.
Definitely. I certainly have to say, you know, when it comes to home inspections, whether it's myself or one of the other inspectors in the area.
Which there are plenty
of
great
inspectors. I just have to point out, you know, put your trust in the professionals who do this for a living. I won't get into the big story, you know, about my Uncle Dan.
Oh, Uncle Dan. He likes to fix everything.
Everybody's got an Uncle Dan, whether it's a family friend, a cousin, someone who fixes things. Stay away from your Uncle Dan. Hire the professionals. That's what they're here for. We all of us are professionals in something. That's why we do what we do. And if you got to trust somebody who's not a professional, I wish you the best of luck. I really do.
Yeah, I've seen some scary repairers, to speak.
I've seen them all. I've seen everything. So, you know, you don't want a 6-foot sliding patio door in your roof.
No.
You do
not. But it's good ventilation.
It's great ventilation. It also rains all over the place inside of your house.
Oh,
you don't want drywall. You don't want drywall installed on your roof.
No, because does that absorb water maybe a little bit?
Just a little bit. Yeah. That would have been mush.
Did they at least use green board?
No, it was not moisture-resistant board at all. It was regular white drywall. And certainly you don't want your Uncle Dan to do your electrical.
No. Definitely, especially when it comes to electrical. Now, I'm not one that I would hire anybody because I do it all myself, because I'm one of those idiots that learned three times after doing it wrong how to do it right and caulk a tub. Yeah. But electrical is one of the things I've been smart enough not to do. It's one of those things that really does scare me. I know better.
And that's I can use that also for what you just said. If you've got something you have to do around your home, because let's face it, no home is maintenance free. There's always going to be work that needs to be done around the home. It never ends. Even my own home. Every day there's something that needs to be done around my own home. Yes, I was in contracting, but I'm not. There's some items that I'm just not good at. And when it comes to those things, I hire somebody who knows how to do it.
Know your limitations.
Know your limits. You know, don't do something that's unsafe. I mean, Google and YouTube are great, but I'll tell you what, they might tell you you're going to get zapped by electric. You don't know what it is until you get zapped by electric.
Yeah.
What they mean. I can tell you that much. I've learned that.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that stuff.
No.
And Maureen, your final thoughts. Now, you deliver meals. Where can people help?
Definitely call the rescue mission. They're always looking for volunteers to either deliver the meals or serve the meals for people that come in and dine. They also need help with turkeys and...
Yeah, I heard the Rome Rescue Mission was actually low on turkeys. Did we get an update on that to know if they...
The Rome one is?
Yeah, they were low on turkeys. Well, we'll have to look into that and get you an update.
Okay.
And the Great American Irish Fest.
Last weekend in July. It's always a good time.
Go drink. See Maureen. She'll be pouring beer.
Yes.
Smiling.
Pour your beer for you.
Rolling her eyes at me.
I'm sure you'll see me there.
Okay. That's good.
I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And I want you to have a very nice Thanksgiving. And Maureen's flipping me off right now because she loves me so much.
I'm flipping you the bird.
For Thanksgiving.
Oh, at least you're going to get one.
Great.
Love you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.